When you look at the conversion of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9, you find there that he was baptized into Christ. He arose. Ananias told him what to do. He arose and was baptized. He did some preaching. And then we find in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26 that he wanted to join himself to the disciples that were at Jerusalem. He wanted to be a member with them at that congregation. He understood what we just had read in the scripture reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, that we are baptized into one body. I want to speak this morning about the importance of being deeply connected to the local body, the local church. How deeply connected are we? Saul of Tarsus wanted to join himself. How joined are we? How connected is that, or how loose is that, whichever the case may be? When you turn in the New Testament, you find that the local church, both in a local sense and even in the universal sense of Christians all over, is described as a body. Think about the different descriptions of the New Testament church. A kingdom, a house, different descriptions, the bride of Christ, different things like that. What about the body? Each of those words is to emphasize different things. A kingdom is to emphasize a king and a law. A house is to emphasize a family relationship. The bride of Christ, to emphasize a close joining to a spouse relationship between us and Christ. But what about a body? A body. A body is to emphasize the close connection of all of the members, our arms and hands and legs and feet and our head. It's all connected together. It all works together. When you look, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. When you look at different aspects of the body, you'll find two things, and we're going to focus in on one of them, but you'll find two things. You'll find a head and you'll find members. If we were to have a lesson this morning focusing on Christ, look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. God gave Christ to be head over all the church, all things to the church, which is his body. If we were to focus on Christ, the emphasis would be on the head. And if we were to focus on the head, then it would be the idea that we get life and direction from our head. Your head is connected to your body, and the brain signals, that's where you get your life from. That's where you get your direction from. So if we were to focus this morning on Jesus as the head, or the head aspect of the body, then the idea would be that of getting life from him and getting direction from him. And that would be a good lesson. But this morning we're going to focus on another aspect of the body, not the head, but the members that make up the body, us. Members of the body of Christ. And how deeply connected are we? Saul of Tarsus, Paul, he wanted to join himself to be hard fast with these members there, these disciples there at Jerusalem. I want to ask a question this morning of all of us, myself included. Are we superficially attached to the body, say, like a shoe? Or are we deeply connected to the body, say, like a foot? We're going to get over into 1 Corinthians 12 later in the lesson, and Paul is actually going to use the word foot to talk about a member of the body, a foot. Stop and think this morning, all of us have some kind of a shoe on, a shoe, a sandal, something like that. Let me ask you, how easy is it for you to take that off? You can take it off just like that, can't you? How easy is it to take off your foot? Do you go home and take off your foot, or do you go home and take off your shoe? You go home and take off your shoe, don't you? Now, let me ask you this. The shoe, how close to the body is it? Well, it's pretty close. We would say it's attached. It's pretty close. Right up there against the body. But you can take it off, can't you? But what about your foot? You see, it's one thing to be attached. It's another thing to be connected. Now, I ask you this morning, as I ask myself, are you a shoe or are you a foot with regard to this local congregation? You see, it makes a difference. There's a difference between being attached, albeit that is close. But there's a difference between being attached and connected. Because like a shoe, what? You can be removed at any time you want without really much trouble. But a foot is a different story. God wants us to be a foot and not a shoe. He wants us to be so deeply connected that we are likened unto a member of the body. And it's good for us to be reminded of these kinds of things. And so this morning then, we're going to look at three New Testament passages, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. If you'd like to be turning over to Romans chapter 12, in just a minute, we're going to begin in verse 3. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4 focus on the church as the body of Christ. And we want to focus not on the head this morning, although that would be a great lesson. We want to focus on members and how deeply connected are we really. If we don't understand the concept of being deeply connected, then there'll eventually be problems that we cause or that other people cause. For example, we might just consider a few this morning. We might have the attitude that being a member of the local church is something like showing up to a monastery. Everything is done at the building. You don't do anything outside the building. Three times a week, I come to a building and I do some things in that building. The rest of the week, I don't do anything. I don't do anything with any of the other members. I don't do anything for any of the other members. It's just show up. It's all done at the building. And we know of individuals that may have that approach or that attitude. Maybe we've even thought about something like that ourselves. But we're not going to do anything outside of the building. For example, we've mentioned in our announcements and prayers that there are those who are in the nursing home. We're not going to go see them or anything like that. Because that's not something that's at the building. If somebody else wants to do that, that's fine. But I keep my membership as what you do at the building. Well, the problem with that is that's not a concept that we should have. We should have a concept of being a member of a body, and that body, another member might be somewhere outside the building that we need to do something with. We might have an attitude of, I just want to do my limit. You know, I want to do the bare minimum. I just want to keep to myself. I come in at the last minute. I'm pretty much the first one out. I don't really want to talk or visit with anybody. I don't want to do anything outside the building. Tell me what's the fewest number of services I can attend and still be a member, that type of thing. What's the least amount I can come to keep the elders off my back or the preacher or somebody like that? And there may be that attitude, and it does exist. It's everywhere. We just don't understand what it means to be a member of a body. It's kind of like church membership has been likened unto maybe being like in a club or something. And I show up at a club a few times, or I don't. It's no big deal. I attend or I don't attend. And we just have not learned. And I want our young people, especially, I think you learn it early in life, what it means to be a member of a body. It's not just like joining a social club where you come and go maybe as you please. There may be this. Some may have this really high spirit of independence. And they're so independent that I just want to keep to myself. I don't want to do anything for anybody. I really don't want to be in anybody else's life. I'm fine with my own. I got my house. I go to the church building, to the house, to the church building, to the house, to the church building. Don't involve me in any other kind of way. And really, that was the problem at Corinth. I told you that we would begin in Romans 12, and we will, but just for the moment, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. That really was the problem at Corinth. The problem was, when Paul starts talking about this body, there's a background to this. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. One of the problems was that there was so much diversity in Corinth with regard to spiritual gifts. There's different gifts, about nine, that are listed here. Each member could do different things, that it got to the point where, look at it, their diversity, verse 4, their diversity caused division. Diversity caused division. In other words, I'm a tongue speaker, I'm not a healer or something else. I'm a tongue speaker, and so I'm better. And I don't need the others. I don't need these other people. And so independence, diversity, and really the spiritual gifts that God put in the church to be a unifying thing ended up at Corinth being a divisive thing. And so particularly the tongue speakers, because he singles them out in chapter 13 and 14, the tongue speakers, apparently, they were the superior ones. And if you stop and think about that, tongue speaking can be kind of the gift that really boosts you up above them, because, man, you're standing up there talking in another language. That's pretty cool. You're not healing someone, which you might do privately in somebody's home. You're publicly proclaiming something in another language. Boy, that's pretty impressive. And so it could boost their ego, and they get this independence about them where they don't want to, you know, be with the other members of the body and so forth, and consider the other members as nothing. So that's really what was going on in Corinth. But today we don't have the spiritual gifts like that. So that's not the problem today. The problem today would be some sort of selfishness where I've just got my life and, you know, leave me alone. We see it show up in these ways. We see it show up where in some congregations, especially the larger ones, we might even not even know the other members' names. We might not know where they live. We don't know what's going on in their life. We don't know what they need or don't need. It doesn't really matter. They've got their life, I've got my life, and, you know, we're just not going to, never the twain shall meet, you know, kind of a thing. I just show up at the building. We don't do anything for the members. And then, in time, we start causing factions and divisions, and that was one of the problems at Corinth, quarreling within a local church. Just wearing our feelings on our sleeve, and it could just be easily offended at this or that. And we're not deeply connected. We're not emotionally invested. We're not physically invested to the point that even when little rough waters come up, we sort of ride that out. It's just division and faction and quarreling and problems. We're not deeply connected. If we were, we would work it out. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We've got to be open and honest about things that come in the church. We can't just ignore it or hide it or act like it doesn't exist. We have to talk about it, brethren. And then we have to talk about how to resolve that and keep ourselves from going through those same kinds of things. Look at Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one of another. We're going to talk this morning about being members one of another. This is one of the, there are about 20 one another passages. When we really understand what it means to be a member one of another, a close, deeply connected thing, then we will be unified regardless of what comes up. This is one of about 20 one another passages. This says, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in this word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed. And so that's the kind of thing that comes into the local church, biting and devouring. Because we're not serving one another. We're not deeply connected to them. We can just easily bite and devour them and walk off. Personality clashes, problems, things like that. All of this, I believe, would be solved if we truly understood what it meant to be deeply connected. Sometimes this happens. When it comes time to discipline someone, those of us who have been in the church for some years have seen this. We've seen it, especially in congregations with elders. When it comes time for the elders to mark someone for their improper behavior, they've been given multiple chances to repent and they don't. It's not effective because nobody was really deeply connected to them to start with. And all of a sudden, well, let's write them a letter of discipline. We're not able to promote constructive discipline because there were really no ties to be had there to start with. So we've got to be careful about that. If there was a close connection with them, even during the period when they were weak and worldly and ungodly, if we're connected to them in talking with them, visiting them, calling them, encouraging them, then when it comes time to say, no, we cannot be in fellowship, often that is effective because there was a close relationship. But if there wasn't a close relationship, all they're doing is getting a letter of withdrawal in the mail. And there wasn't any, they're thinking, withdrawal? I wasn't connected anyway. They weren't connected to me. I wasn't connected to them. What's withdrawal? I was going to a building from time to time. But you see, but when there's a close connection, then when it comes time to say, we cannot be in fellowship with you, often that is effective because there was a close connection to start with. But if not, then often it doesn't work. Some brethren have no emotional or physical ties to the other brethren. They're more attached to worldly relationships than to the local church. And you try to bring them into your home. No, I've got a party with my friends. Or, you know, you try to do something with... No, I've got people out in the world I want to be with. And they're more connected to the world than they are their own brethren. And so it's hard to be close, isn't it? So what's the solution to all of this? Now turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I want us to consider... The solution is to be deeply connected, not a shoe, but a foot. Don't be a shoe this morning. Be a foot. Don't be something that can just be easily detached at any moment. Be a foot with regard to Memorial Boulevard. In Romans chapter 12, let's begin to look at the three key New Testament passages that deal with the local church as a body, and we are members that are deeply connected as a body. Read with me Romans 12, 3 through 8. And we're going to see, first of all, this morning then, that we need to be connected with three things. Number one, we need to be connected with humility. Number two, we need to be connected with dependability. Number three, we need to be connected with maturity. That comes from the three passages that we will be looking at. So first of all, from Romans chapter 12, we need to be connected with humility. Let's read it. Romans 12, 3. For I say, through the grace that was given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. For even as we have many members in one body, and he just talked about his physical body, as we have many members in one body, he's talking about our own physical body, okay? As we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, the older English version says office. Don't think about the office back there in the back of the church building. It means the word function or the word work. Not all the members have the same function. The heart has a different function from the eyeball. The ear has a different function from the kidneys and so forth. So not all members have the same function. They're doing different things, but they're all working together. Verse 5, so we, now he switches to Christians in the church. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And having gifts, differing according to the grace that was given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Our ministry, let us give it to ministering. Or he that teacheth to his teaching. Or he that exhorteth to his exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with liberality. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now he's going to use an example of the physical body having many members, and he's going to apply that to Christians in the local church. But notice in verse 3, the very first thing he says is going to set the stage for the rest of the lesson here, and that is that humility is the key to all of this. Do not that every man not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We need to be deeply connected, number one, with humility. We need to understand that there are different members with different functions, and I'm not above them. I don't need to think more highly of myself than I ought to think. I need to have a good sense of humility that I'm going to work with everyone in the congregation. So, look at verse 3. It takes examination. We have to examine ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. Let every man... To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly. We're going to have to take a self-examination of ourselves. Do I really think that I'm higher than everybody else? Or do I think soberly and properly about myself? And when I do that, it keeps me from feeling more important than others. It keeps me from having some sort of inflated ego. It keeps me from having this attitude of my way or the highway. It keeps me, I have some superior air about myself where everybody else needs to go with what I want. No, we work together. Okay, so examination is necessary. But look with me at verses 4 and 5. Not only examination, but look at this diversification, which means individually members thereof. Notice the statement again in verse 5. We are many members, but individually members one of another. There's a diversity here. Don't think of diversity in the sense of the black-white social issue, but diversity in the sense of different functions, and it keeps me from feeling unnecessary. You know what? It doesn't matter what we do in the local congregation. What we do, we can't say, well, you know, the song leader's more important, or the preacher's more important than the person who just teaches the Bible class, or who just cleans the building. It's all important. And so understanding this keeps us from feeling unnecessary. Well, I'm not needed, or they're more important than I am. Paul is trying to control what can happen in a local congregation where somebody can have a superior attitude to others. And he's trying to solve this with what? Humility. Humility. We're all working together, and we do not need to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. So we need to examine ourselves. Number two, verses 4 and 5, we need to understand that there are going to be different functions, and it keeps me from feeling either superior to someone else or the other end of the extreme, feeling unnecessary. Well, I'm not needed. We're all important. And then number three, look at verses 6 through 8. It's going to keep me busy. There are different things that we need to be doing. Now, if you look at the list here, beginning in verse 6, the first one that heads the list is something that we don't have anymore, prophecy. If you read 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, prophecies will cease. When the New Testament revelation was complete, there was no longer any prophecy. So we don't have that today. But look at some of the other things in the list that we still have today. There are other verses in the New Testament that teach us that we're still to be ministering to others. We're to be teaching. There's verses, Hebrews 5:12, when by reason you ought to be teachers. We need to be teaching. There are many verses in the New Testament that talk about exhortation, verse 8. There are verses that talk about being liberal and giving and charitable. He that ruleth is probably a reference to the eldership. Of course, plenty of New Testament passages on that. Mercy and cheerfulness, plenty of New Testament passages on that. Everything except prophecy is still in the New Testament church and still should be among us today. And we need to be busy doing those things. And why do I say keep busy? Look at the phrases that are given. Verse 7, he that ministers, let him give himself to his ministry, or he that teacheth to his teaching. That phrase, he that does such and such, to such and such. To such and such means give yourself over to that. Really put your heart into that. Don't just be a bare minimum member. Do it and just give yourself to it. Give your all to it. And you know when a person gives their all to something, even outside the church. If we're doing something at the house, we know if someone really put their all into it or not. You know, whether it's chores or whatever. You can tell when somebody just puts their all into something or not. And Paul is saying, give yourself over to whatever it is you're supposed to be doing. But at the head of the list is humility. What keeps us deeply connected is humility, not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. But there's a second thing that keeps us deeply connected. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians 12. The second thing that keeps me deeply connected to the body is not just humility, but also humility and what I'm going to call dependability. And I don't mean in the sense of the word. We use the word dependability in the sense of, is it reliable? Does it always work? I'm not using it in that sense. You know, is this battery dependable? Will it start my car? I'm not using it in that sense. I'm using it in the sense of the first part of the word. We need to depend one upon another. We need to depend on each other. I'm using it in that sense this morning. Because that's the problem at Corinth. The tongue speakers especially didn't need anybody else. I don't have to depend on you. I'm the tongue speaker. And so Paul said, wait a minute. There's different members, and each member has to depend on the other members. The kidney is a great thing, but it has to depend upon the other parts of the digestive system. The heart's a great thing, but it depends on the other parts of the circulatory system to work. The brain is a great thing, but it depends upon the nerves and other things in the nervous system, the spinal cord. It's all got to work together. The brain can't say, well, I don't need the spinal cord. The heart can't say, well, I don't need the veins. I don't need the veins. I can pump my blood without... No, you need the veins. So depend, that's how I'm using that, and that's how Paul is using it. So let's look now at 1 Corinthians 12, the second thing that keeps us deeply connected. We don't want to be a shoe that's close but can easily be taken off. We want to be a foot that is hard, fast, connected. That's our attitude toward the local church. Let's look at it now. Read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Matthew already read verses 12 and 13, so let's pick up in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. He's talking about the physical body. Again, just like in Romans 12, he started off with the physical body and then compares it to the body of Christ. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is not therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is not therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, each one of them, in the body, even as it pleased him, in the physical body and in the local church. So the first lesson that we learn is mutual obligation. We are unique and we are important and we need to find our place. And for Corinth, the tongue speaker doesn't need to be saying, well, you know, I don't need... Look at verses 8, 9, and 10, the different gifts that are mentioned there. I'm a tongue speaker. I don't need the guy who all he does is just give us some knowledge, verse 8. And verse 9, I don't need the faith healer, you know, that's not important. And verse 10, I don't need the prophet. I'm a tongue speaker, you see. So they had to learn mutual obligation. Everybody works together. The eye cannot say, I'm not the hand, I don't need you. Mutual obligation. You see, when you start seeing these concepts, then it's much more than what? Just showing up at a building, right? It's much more. And we are so deeply connected that even if a little thing comes up, we're going to work through it. We're going to work it out, just like in marriage. You don't just walk out at the first fight after the honeymoon. You work it out. And so if we're deeply connected, we work through that. Notice what Paul said to the tongue speakers. He said, work it out by understanding that you're deeply connected. The solution is not, well, I'll just go somewhere. No, the solution is to work it out. And that's what Paul said. Stay together, be unified, and understand that you're a deeply connected body. So verse 20, but now they are many members, but one body. If you were to take chapter 12 and circle the word one, you would be circling a lot of times. Unity, unity, unity. That is the key. Oneness. The tongue speaker was acting in a way that was causing division and disunity. Paul is bringing them back together. You were baptized into one body. Now you need to stay one. How, Paul? By being deeply connected with each other. So, the first thing he teaches is mutual obligation. But let's look at it. The second thing he teaches is mutual dependence. Let's read verses 21 through 24. We are dependent one upon another, brethren. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet. I have no need of you. That's what the tongue speaker was saying. I don't need these. I'm the tongue speaker. And so in chapter 13, he says, I don't care if you can speak in tongues. If you don't have love, brethren, what does it profit? And then he gets on them again in chapter 14 by saying that tongue speaking is fine, but it has to be followed by some rules, and it's all for edification. Apparently, the tongue speaker was the one who felt the superiority about himself. There may have been others that had problems too. So he's saying to them, The tongue speaker cannot say to the healer, I don't have any need of you. That's the message he's trying to get across. Verse 22, no, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You can look at your own physical body and you can pick out some body parts where you would say, well, you know, number one, it doesn't look very good. And number two, I really don't know what the purpose of it is. It's just this little old thing right here. Well, God has a purpose for that. And so we don't need to be saying that about the physical body or the spiritual body. Verse 23, and those parts of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Whereas our comely parts have no need, but God tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And we find that sometimes in the human body, there will be, in years gone by, well, that's that little old thing in the body. We don't understand what it does, and we don't need it, and we'll yank it out. And then we find years later, well, you know, that actually did serve a purpose. When I was young, I wanted my tonsils out badly because I used to get bad sore throats. And I'm sure there's some brethren here that have had their tonsils taken out, so I'm not getting on that point. But I wanted my tonsils taken out so badly. Dad said, no, God gave you the tonsils. You're going to keep them, you know. He wouldn't let me take my tonsils out. But we take things out, and then we find out, well, you know, they do have a purpose, and tonsils have a purpose. We get sore throats with them, but they serve a purpose for other things, you know. And we find that out in the human body. And so look at that statement there at the end of verse 24. God tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked. There's some little thing that we don't think is all that important, but God places it there and it has a purpose and a plan. So, what's the next thing that he teaches? Mutual dependence. We need to accept another person's place and appreciate that and work with that and be unified with that. And be dependent upon that. And then the last thing that he teaches is mutual feeling, where we have care for one another. We don't wear our feelings on the cuff of our sleeve that can easily be offended and brushed off and bothered, but we're close in connection. So let's read it, verse 25. That there should be no division, the older versions, schism, division in the body. That's the whole goal of this. There is to be no division. So look at verse 4. The diversity ended up leading to division. And it wasn't supposed to do that. The diversity was supposed to show God's plan of how there can be different things that can work together. Can you imagine walking around, you're just one giant eyeball. That's all you are. No, we're walking around with all of these intricate things going on in the human body, and it's supposed to show the great design of God and how all those different things work together. That's the whole point. And so the diversity, verse 4, was supposed to show how that it's all different but works together. But when man gets a hold of it, it went awry there, and Paul is having to bring it back. So, verse 25, the whole point is there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. It's supposed to teach us to work together and get along and be selfless. I think one of our biggest problems today in the world is selfishness. And selfishness is causing this attitude of, I just don't want to get along. Stop and think about it, brethren. Why didn't God just give one gift, just one gift to the local church? Why give nine? To teach us to work together as a body works together. And so there are lessons. God has wisdom in all of this. It teaches us to be selfless and have the same care one for another. Verse 26, and whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it. All the members. Well, we're far beyond now just showing up at the building. I actually have to be involved in brethren's lives to know what's going on and care and ask and check and this and that. You see, it's beyond just showing up at a building and all those things that we talked about earlier. It's deeply connected. So we have the same care. So when one suffers, they all suffer. Whether one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members thereof. So mutual feeling, where we share both suffering and rejoicing together. And notice in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Are you a shoe or are you a foot? With wherever we're at in a local congregation. We need to be deeply connected. That's what the foot is. The shoe is pretty close to the body, but it's not connected. It's attached, and there's a difference. Paul is teaching deep connection. So, each member must be deeply connected with, number one, humility, number two, dependability. And now, turn with me to Ephesians 3. We must be deeply connected with maturity. We have to grow up spiritually with what we want and how we work with others so that we will be deeply connected with them. It's a maturity process. We have to mature and grow and be full grown to work with others. And when those do not do that, then there are problems. Look at it. Ephesians chapter 4, the third main passage in the New Testament that speaks of the local church as a body. Let's pick up the reading in verse 11. And he, Christ, he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministering unto the building up of the body of Christ. As we read this passage, brethren, look for the words that speak to growth or maturity. This is the first one, building up. Verse 13, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a, what? Full-grown man, unto the, what? Measure, growth, maturity, growing up, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that you may be no longer children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine or by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplieth according to the working in due measure of each individual part maketh the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Notice in verse 12, building up. Notice at the end of it, verse 15, building up. What do we get from that, brethren? Growth, maturity, building up, not tearing down. Getting stronger, not getting weaker. So the third and final point is that each member, if we're going to be deeply connected, it's going to take some humility. Number two, it's going to take some dependability in the sense of we depend on each other. And number three, it's going to take some maturity. Notice, first of all, how this is accomplished. It's by leadership in the local church. The design to have elders in the local congregation. Some of these men no longer exist in the congregation. We have the apostles and the prophets. They no longer exist. They were given for the purpose of revealing God's word. But the rest of these men, the pastors, the other term for elders, teachers, evangelists, they're still in the local church today. And notice, first of all, that maturity is accomplished when we have proper leadership. And so we men here at Memorial Boulevard need to be working toward that. I need to be working toward being an evangelist. I need to be working toward being an elder in the local congregation. The leadership is designed to build up the body. The second thing that is needed to build up is knowledge. Bible teaching, personal Bible reading in the home, good Bible-based lessons from the pulpit, Bible-based lessons from the classroom. It is knowledge that causes us to grow up. Look at verse 13 through 15 again. That you may be no longer tossed to and fro, not children, but how? The unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, speaking truth. You see, it's God's Word that causes us to become full-grown. And not just filling out a Bible class lesson. People do that all the time. I've known of members of the church that got all the answers right on a piece of paper, but they were immature when it came time to deal with something. It's not just a matter of filling out a piece of paper, but learning God's Word and applying it in our lives and being a better Christian, making the necessary changes on a weekly basis. and we will grow up. We will apply those things and grow up. And then the third thing that is needed, in addition to leadership and knowledge, is participation. I have found that the ones who often cause the problems in the local congregation, go back and look at the board. Were they signing up for anything? Were they signing up for things? Were they volunteering for things? A lot of times they weren't being participatory. They weren't active in the group. And so they had no investment in the group. So participation keeps me deeply connected. Learning God's Word keeps me deeply connected. Good leadership keeps me deeply connected. Look at verse 16. That which every joint supplies. What are you supplying other than just coming to the building? What are you supplying to this group? That's what you've got to ask yourself. That's what I've got to ask myself. Well, I come to the building. That's not being deeply connected. I have to be supplying something. Well, isn't my presence here enough? No. It's a start. It's a part of it, but it's more than that. That would be like saying the heart says, well, I don't pump anymore. I don't do anything. But isn't my presence inside your, chest cavity there? Isn't that enough? No, we call that death when it stops pumping. It's still there, but it's not pumping. Isn't my presence enough? No, I have to be active. And so verse 16, we've got leadership, we've got knowledge through God's Word, and then verse 16, from whom all the body fitly framed, knit together, not a shoe that can just be easily taken off, but knit, notice the idea of joined, bound, deeply connected, knit together through that which every joint supplies, according to the working, not just, well, isn't my presence here enough? No, the working in due measure of each individual part. Well, we expect Larry to do some stuff. That's right. But what am I doing? You know, we expect, Mason or some of the ladies to, but what am I doing, you see? Each individual part. Am I a shoe or am I a foot? That's what we have to ask ourselves. And so to be deeply connected, number one, it takes humility. Number two, it takes a sense of I'm dependent upon each other. Number three, it takes a sense of maturity where I'm a full-grown Christian and I am active in the local congregation. So, Romans 12, the emphasis on humility. 1 Corinthians 12, the emphasis on being dependent on each other. Ephesians 4, the emphasis on a full-grown, grown-up Christian. Are you a shoe or a foot? Only you can answer that this morning. As we come to the close of our lesson, I want to make this one last point, and that is the local church is a place to be, not a place to go. It's a place where we are a member deeply connected with each other. It's not just a place you go. So let's go out and be that member. If we need to start by making some change in our life, let's do that. Whatever we got to do. But if we've learned this morning that I can't just be a shoe, I've got to be a foot, let's make that change. Maybe the change is becoming a Christian for the first time. We're going to stand and sing the song of encouragement. Jesus saves. He can save us from our sin. And we can be baptized into one body. Or maybe as a member of the church who has a wrong concept of being a member. Maybe we need to change our thinking after learning, well, it's about humility and dependability and maturity. I'm changing my thinking. But whatever the case is, we're not going to leave this morning a shoe, pretty close to the body. We're going to be a foot. We're going to be deeply connected and that which is not easily removed. And if we can encourage you along those lines, if we can assist you, if we can help you in that, why won't you come as we stand and sing this song of encouragement?